I am reading out of the Gospel of Luke. There's four of them. This is the stories of a community that followed Luke and were taught by him, we probably think. And this is a collection of sayings, things they wanted to make sure that people knew about. So here we have the New Testament reading. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance and calling out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he saw them and he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" But none of them were found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner. And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word and God in life, for the word of God here. I will say, this Scripture, honestly, has for years was not one of my favorites. And I didn't like it. Well, I'll tell you why I didn't like it. When I was a new pastor, I went to do pastoral visits, and I went to go see a member whose cancer had come back after a third remission, and nothing was going to make it better, and she had stopped coming to church, and it concerned the church why she wasn't there anymore. And I went to visit her, and I said, "We're missing you. Can't you come?" And she said, I'm not worthy. I can't come. I said, "What?" And she goes, "I can't come anymore. God is angry at me." And I said, "Can you tell me more about that? Because I'm kind of smart. I don't pretend like I understand, or at least I did at that age." And she said, "Because I read in the Scripture, your faith will make you well, and I've been praying to God, and I am not well yet." She said, "I have done something so bad, and I don't know what it is that God is punishing me." I tried to tell her this wasn't so. I at least refrained from giving her the sermon I'm going to give you about what that means, but it broke her. So I've always been hesitant. I hear those words and I think of her, and tell you the truth, in lots of ways that Scripture also irritated me. But then I had the glory and the gift of being able to study Scripture and actually learn something. Just what I read isn't what it means. That's the beauty of being a person of faith that gets to really study the Scripture and wrestle with it. And what I learned when I scrabbled with this passage, when I really struggled with it, I found that it's made up of two stories. The first one is the story about the 10 lepers. These outcasts who encounter Jesus and, keeping a respectable prescribed distance, ask him, "Jesus, Lord, Master, have mercy on us, have pity on us, show us your loving kindness." And I don't know if they thought he would actually heal them. Maybe they thought Jesus would pay them some attention. Maybe they thought he'd give them a little bit of money, maybe help them eat for that day. But what I do know is in their words were a cry of help. Help us. At the very least, they want to be noticed and acknowledged and seen and not ignored like they were by so many. And then the truth was, Jesus saw them. He really saw them, and he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now, in that day, if you thought a miracle had taken place, that you had been healed, you went to the priest, and the priest okayed it, then it was for sure. It's one of the steps. Go show yourselves to the priest. And they did. And I got to tell you, I think that's kind of amazing in itself. They didn't ask any more questions. They just went. They were obedient, and on the way, they were healed. Jesus says, go, and they actually went. And the healing takes place in the going. And that in itself is an incredible story. I kind of wish sometimes the story would end there because it's pretty good. It's a good story. And I want to just say those nine did nothing wrong. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do, and they were healed. The blessing Jesus promised them, it took place. It's a complete story of Jesus' compassion when he encounters the broken, those who are on the outside, and he brings them to fullness and health so they can become part of the community again. It's a great story. But then there's this addition. It goes to the second story. There was this one who, instead of going to the priest like Jesus told him to, stopped, turned, and went in a whole nother direction. He breaks ranks. He runs to Jesus. He puts himself on the ground and thanks him in a loud voice. I mean, it's just radical. And it's here that we find out he's a Samaritan. You probably already know this, but it was bad enough to be a leper in that day. Anyone that had a skin disease was thrown out of town. They had to live in little communities apart, and they couldn't make a living. They couldn't do anything particular, or they'd have to beg for food. And they had to be like so far out of every village. Okay, I know it's making you laugh. Someone will take care of it. And so, yeah, back to me. I'm sorry, I made you focus. So a leper was such an outsider. You had to live outside the town, and all you could do was beg. And then you had a Samaritan leper. Like, is the worst. Because people of Israel hated Samaritans. You would rather starve than eat their food. You would rather walk 20 miles out of the way than be in Samaria. And so he's a leper and a Samaritan, and I think he probably even had to spend outer side of everyone else. Really, not even the lepers would talk to him. And this is the one who came back to thank him, not the one of Israel. And Jesus sees him and kind of says to him playfully, really, where are the other nine? Like, really? I don't know. You're the foreigner, and you're the one that praises God. And then Jesus says to him, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. See, there's that verse that just drives me crazy. There, your faith has made you well. But I want to play with you a little bit. This is what I missed and what I hoped my church member could hear later from me. The word well is different than when the scripture says the lepers were made clean. The word well means saved, whole. It comes from the root of salvation. Your faith has made you whole. He's not talking about the physical healing. He is saying because you came back, you have a spirit of peace and a spirit of wholeness. See, that Samaritan leper got an extra blessing. He came back to give thanks, and in that, he was healed and blessed again. And here, the healing, the blessing comes from giving thanks, and in that thanks, he was transformed. That's really different. See, all 10 were healed. But this one who came back and gave thanks, Jesus said, you are transformed and made whole of spirit as well as body. I mean, he sees something amazing has happened, the leper, and he comes back to praise God. It changes his direction. It changes his orientation. It changes how he sees and perceives the world. In this case, thanksgiving sprang from a different perspective. He recognized the blessing and he articulated it, and giving expression, no matter how tiny, can be transforming. It's gratitude for the blessings that we have. And every time there is this combination of sight and awareness and speaking, there is transformation that can happen. We can get a second blessing. And I want to tell you, here's the amazing thing. This is just not scripture true. They also did a study at Davis a couple of years ago. And they gave a group of people a journal where they had to write five things they were thankful for once a week. And they did it over a period of time. Once a week, just five things. And they found that the people that wrote these Thanksgivings down were happier and they slept better at night. So the man who did the study said it's better to count blessings than sheep. But what they found is just the Thanksgiving changed their attitude. Now we as people of faith, of followers of Jesus would say it just doesn't change our attitude, it also changes our actions and who we are as a person. That Samaritan dropped on his knees. He was like a living demonstration of love. He was saying, here I am, I was made whole. I might never have been made whole, but I am. You've given this to me. I don't deserve it. It's a gift. It's grace. And he recognizes that gift of love from God, and he's changed. That's the radical thing. So I think in church, in some ways, we try to learn how to say thank you for God who gave us everything. Because we're in a culture where it's just about me. And if you're not with a group of people and practice Thanksgiving, you tend to think what I've got, I'm kind of owed. I am a bright person. You know, I have worked really hard. It's all about me. And so we don't give thanksgiving to God. We just say, maybe thanks be for what I have. Do you understand the tick of change in that? And so when I was away on sabbatical, I tried to study people that had a life of gratitude. And the one I was caught a lot by was Father Damien. He's now Saint Damien in the island of Molokai. I can't speak Hawaiian. Molokai is what I call it. Molokai? This was me in the stores. Molokai. He wanted to be a priest. He grew up in Belgium and he was from a poor farming family and he wanted to go to college. And he said, no, we don't have money. And he said, I want to be a priest. And they say, you're not bright enough. We'd love your brother, though. So his brother started learning Latin and brought the books home to his brother. And his brother started learning at him. And then they accepted him into school. And then they said, you and your brother will go to the Sandwich Islands. Well, Father Damien got sick. And so his brother went to the Sandwich Islands. And he went to the big island of Hawaii, which in that day was no gift. There were no roads. It was really rural. It's hard. And he served there 8 years, and he did something amazing. He actually learned the Hawaiian language. Many priests that went did not. I went to a church that was all painted by a priest because he never learned to speak the language, and he wanted in some ways to show that congregation visually what was happening. Well, Father Damien, after doing not such prestigious churches, The bishop said, we need people to go to the island of Molokai, and we need you to work with the lepers, because a lot of people had gone and they didn't stay. The Anglicans went, the Congregationalists went, the Mormons went. No one really stayed. And so the bishop said, we need volunteers, and three volunteered, and one of them was Father Damien. Well, he arrived there with 50 cattle. It wasn't a great way to get there. I don't know what happened to the other two volunteers. And I want to tell you what the leper colony was like. In those days in Hawaii, if you had leprosy or something that they thought was leprosy, you would basically be taken from your home, didn't matter what age you are, and you would be brought to this place that was three sides, really stiff cliffs. You came in a boat and you were kind of dumped on shore, and if you swam to shore, you were okay. Children, adults who were sick, there was no medication, there was no food, there was very little care. Some of the people, their relatives would come with them. Terrible place. And Father Damien got there and he found that it was a place where people were dying, not living. He found they had no medication and they were self-medicating themselves with alcohol. At least if I'm drunk, I don't hurt so much. Now, Father Damien came in, and guess what he did first? He started building houses for people to live in. They had no shelter. He built a sanitation system, running water, a clean place to use the bathroom. And then he started building a church. He came and he gave hope to a place where people were only dying. He agitated people for supplies, for people to help him. And he saw people as worthy. He started doing important things like he built instruments so people could have an orchestra to give them joy in the midst of their living. And he buried people as well as he was with the living. And I hear he's really ornery. I mean, he wasn't very clean. He ate with everyone, and he was a worker. I mean, he was always doing things, so he didn't smell too good from what I hear, which may not seem like a big deal, but you're hot, and you can imagine. Father Damien was preparing a dish with hot water one day, and scalding water fell on his hands, and he didn't feel it. And then he knew that he had also contracted leprosy. And after that, he started talking to his people and said, "We the lepers." It changed how he saw them. He became one of them. And he worked with them with leprosy for a number of years. And shortly before he died, he wrote his brother and he said these words, "I'm gently going to my grave. It is the will of God. I thank God very much for letting me die of the same disease and in the same way as my lepers. I am satisfied and very happy." Really, these are his last words. "I thank God that he let me die with my lepers. I'm very happy and satisfied." He found grace where he was. It was a lousy appointment. He had to work with people no one wanted to work with. And he brought hope and thanked God for that life on his deathbed. See, that's what gratitude to God does. It changes you. And I think Damien was made a saint, not because he healed people, but he was with those who were dying and gave them hope and life. That was the amazing thing. And so we at church are at what I talked about last week, the school of love. How do we learn to recognize the gifts from God and give thanks for them and change us? And we got little homework assignments all over this church. See those hands? God's hands, your hands, to remind you to do that. We say thanks a lot in this church. We say thank you after confessing and pardon. Really? We say thanks there. We give thanks after offering because it's our thank you to God's love. We here try to learn to be grateful people so that we too can be healed, so we too can be transformed. May it be so in this church, outside this church. May God's mercy and loving kindness be strong in our lives, and may we recognize it and say thank you. Amen.